Hello, and welcome to the Heal Your Heart, Heal Your Life podcast, the podcast where we talk all things healing, trauma, how we went through things, and what we did in order to move past them so that we can share these stories and hopefully help the listeners out there who are going through similar things. So, on today's episode, I'm really humbled to be able to invite Olinda, my beautiful family friend, but also a wonderful mother of three. She's going to talk to us today a bit about her journey about losing a baby and what that felt like, and then also trying for another baby after that experience. So thank you so much for coming on today, Linda.
Thank you, Kiara. Thank you. Look, just to give you a bit of context, I've got three boys now, and on our journey with the older two, we didn't have any fertility issues. So for me, it was a very foreign concept then encountering some issues. So with Nicholas and James, we were lucky to fall pregnant quite quickly. And it was a little odd because I'd see so many people around us who were either trying for a long time or had to go down the IVF. And I wasn't very educated around that. I just thought, oh, you know, like we're very lucky. I don't know what's the problem. So anyway, cut a long story short, they were, you know, fell pregnant quickly, no issues really major within the pregnancy itself. Over the last few years, ever since since James was born, the little one, we always sort of thought, oh, you know, there was just something in me that I just wasn't complete. And you know, you ask yourself, were you happy with your two? Absolutely. Like in my whole world, right? Yeah. Absolutely. Am I happy? I'm content. I'm satisfied. I'm in love with them. But there was just something inside of me, and I never envisaged myself to be a mum of three by far, but there was just something in me that didn't feel complete, and it wasn't about having a girl. Because in my mind, I had to get to the point of, I want to have another baby. I don't want to try for a girl. So in beginning of 2020, my little one was very, very unwell, James, and he was in hospital. And then COVID hit. So we sort of just left it to the side. And my husband's 5 years older than me. So, you know, 5 years doesn't sound like a big age gap, but at certain times it can be. So towards the end of 2020, we thought, you know what, we want to do this. Let's do it. Let's not waste any time. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be busy. Let's do it. You know, usually we fall pregnant quickly. Let's do it. So we tried and fell pregnant. It was very exciting. It happened very quickly. And the numbers just weren't looking good. So I went to see my obstetrician, and he said, look, there's something not right. I think you're going to experience a miscarriage.
Oh my god!
And I think you're on track now. And here I was, all excited about going to my first appointment to hear the heartbeat. I'm like, this doesn't happen to me. Like, I've never experienced this. I hear about it. Never happened to me. Anyway, it happened. So the day after, I started bleeding. I'm very open about this as well. So there's no facade. Bleeding, encountered the first miscarriage, which was horrible. I can't explain. If someone said, how did you feel? It was really difficult because I've got two boys in the house that I had to be mum and be happy. I didn't want them to see me sad. But it just felt really sad. It was such a loss. I didn't know what was happening to my body. You physically see it happening to you. Emotionally, you just go into a really dark place. And then you just start Googling, and Googling can be great, but Googling can be really bad. And then, you know, they say that it's very common, and that second time round after a first miscarriage, you're most likely to have a successful pregnancy. So in 2021, we had our first miscarriage in March. Healed, did what we had to, and then we thought, we'll try again. And I had a second miscarriage in May, and that was heartbreaking. It was really heartbreaking. My obstetrician said, look, we don't normally do any investigation until you get three consecutive miscarriages. He said, but let's just do some tests. and everything was fine. I'm not premenopausal. Everything was fine with my hormones. I'm ovulating. So that was a second miscarriage. Then it took a few months. We thought we'd try again. And it was just, it's heartbreaking because, you know, then it's all about the ovulations and then the testing sticks and everything. Intercourse has to be so timed. And I used to always hear about this where then sex becomes a chore. And it's hard, it's horrible to say, but it does. It takes the enjoyment out of it. And we really struggled. We really were. And my husband was at the end of giving up because he said, you know, babe, we've got two beautiful boys. It's just not meant to be. It's not meant to be. But there was this thing inside of me. So my nonno passed away in September. A few weeks after, I fell pregnant again. It was my third pregnancy again, but a miscarriage again. So I miscarried at about 4 weeks. And spoke to my obstetrician, who again has been lovely. He saw me through the whole journey. He supported me. And he said, Ollie, I think we really need to start looking at IVF. Where, you know, they get the egg and the sperm and, you know, anything that doesn't work, doesn't get frozen, the embryos form. We then decided instead of doing that to have a curette. I just thought, you know what? I've had three miscarriages. What's in there? What's going on? It was a little bit invasive. It was quite painful afterwards.
What's a curette? I have no idea.
So a curette is basically where they clean you out. They go through your belly button, through your belly, and they go into your uterus. He looked for endometriosis. He looked for, you know, ovarian cysts. There was absolutely nothing. He said to me, this is a great uterus you've got. There was a bit of blood. I cleaned it out. Nothing out of the ordinary. And I was sort of hoping that there would be. I'm like, just tell me there's something wrong.
Yes.
I can explain the miscarriages. Because for me, I didn't understand, like, what am I doing wrong? Is it my age? Is it my husband's age? We don't smoke. We don't drink. We actively exercise. Like, what is it? Had that. Anyway, 2 weeks after that, after the curette, I fell pregnant in November of 2021. And I've got this video that I recorded and I've looked back on it a couple of times and I saw the two lines and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Rang my obstetrician, went to get bloods taken. Anyway, he put me on a whole course. I had to do injections every day for about 14 weeks. To use suppositories, I had to get regular blood tests. Anyway, the end result of that is that we had a baby in July last year. Marcus was born and it was a healthy pregnancy. Everything went really well. I was afraid, I was scared, I was anxious. I didn't know what the result was going to be. So when we got to the 12 weeks, we're like, we got to 12 weeks. Are we going to get to 15 weeks? Are we going to get to 20 weeks? And when I started feeling him, it was amazing. So I guess people call me, I think, would you say I'm tenacious? I think when I've got something in my head, I just, Kiara, I can't explain it. Like, you have one miscarriage and you think, you know what, I've got two beautiful boys, I'll stop.
Yeah.
But I just thought, let's try again. Like, what's there to lose, right? And when I was going through this journey, I was hearing so many stories around me, but I really struggled talking about my story. So no one in my family knew about it. It was only, and when I say my family, I include my friends in that. No one knew. It was just my mum and my sister, our immediate family, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and they were an amazing support. You know, my mum and my sister were checking in constantly. My mother-in-law, everyone was amazing. But I just, going through it, I really struggled to talk to people. And then I heard of a celebrity. She shared her story. She was in a very similar situation. Two children, had three miscarriages, and then she was pregnant with the third eventually. And everything went really well. And that was me holding on to some sort of hope. I'm like, it does happen. But going through it, it's just such a dark process and it takes you to really dark places and Google can help, but it can also be a really negative have a negative impact on you. You just start reading all the stats. And I guess it is taboo, like you said earlier. You don't talk about it. The reason, I don't know why women, I don't know why we don't talk about it. You know, like I'm very open, the way I was saying to you before, physically seeing the miscarriage. Like, I wish there was just a pill that you could take and it just absorbed in your body. But physically seeing it, it's just, it's horrible. You start thinking, like, what could it have been? What was it? And I still think about it today. I think I've had six pregnancies in total.
Yeah.
I've got three beautiful boys, but I think of these three little angels and I think, where are they? Why did they go? Some people say that they can't carry girls. Could they have been girls? So I look at Marcus now and I think, if I hadn't tried, if I wasn't tenacious, if I didn't continue, we wouldn't have this bundle here now. And I guess you wouldn't know. You just wouldn't know. But it was a really difficult time.
Oh,
I don't know if I've
definitely.
spoken too much and rambled, so I'll stop.
No, that's perfect. Thank you so much. I have so many questions, but I just thought I'd let you keep going. So you said that it takes you to a really dark place, and I did hear some, it almost sounded like what have I done wrong? Is there a lot of self-blame when you go through a miscarriage?
Yeah, you sort of think, you know, because I exercise vigorously every day, and after we had tried again, I get back on my treadmill and I'm running. So was it the running? Was it my weights? Am I just too, you know, screaming after the kids all the time and you just, you know, do this and do that? And was I getting too upset? But these are just everyday things. It's life, right? You know, is there something I could have done differently? Did I not educate myself enough about it? So you do, you blame yourself, and then you sort of think, it's human nature. This happens all the time. My auntie, I feel like I've sort of taken after her. She experienced three miscarriages herself. And for no one, you just don't know. And I wish that there was a reason, because if someone said to me, you've got a cyst and it's too big, or you've got endometriosis, or you definitely can't try because of this reason. But I didn't know. So there was definitely blame.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to the whole, I wish there was a problem so then they can just give me a solution and I can just move on medically with this. And then getting nothing and just being like, what am I meant to do with nothing? I can't go to another doctor. I can't get a miracle pill. Like, and just that feeling of the uncertainty, and it brings up a lot of fear, and it does bring up a lot of self-blame, like you said.
It does. And I think, you know, my dad was here one night, and, you know, God bless him, he doesn't mean things the way they come out sometimes. And, you know, that his way of supporting me was, Ollie, you've got two beautiful boys. And but in my mind, Kiara, I'm like, I know that. I know I've got one Tats Lotto. I know that. I'm on top of the world. I've got an amazing husband. I've got two gorgeous kids. But there was just something inside of me that, like, if you said to me now, have a baby, it's going to be a girl. Have a fourth child, you're guaranteed a girl. There's no way. I'm so complete. I'm so happy. I'm done now. I am the mum of three. Marcus completes me and our little family. But, yeah, it was a really difficult time, I guess.
And I'm hearing that it can be really hard when people are well-meaning and they're saying certain things like, you know, you should be grateful for what you've got. It's like, yes, but I still have had this experience where it's heartbreaking, and I'm still feeling this feeling of, but I want one more. One more is meant to be my life path, or whatever it is. How do you reconcile that when you get those kind of comments?
Look, I guess you can't get upset or offended with people. They don't mean it in a malicious way. That's their way of supporting you. And, you know, I know you've gone through something very significant in your life, and people will be like, oh, but you've got this and you've got that. But you know what? It's okay to actually say, it's shit. What happened to you, Ollie? What happened to you, Kiara? It's shit. It really is. And it's not nice, and it shouldn't have happened. But you know what? It's life. These things do happen. It's okay, I guess, to acknowledge someone's grief. Instead of putting it to the side and saying, but you've got this and you've got that. I know that. I know I've got two gorgeous kids and that are healthy. But let's talk about the miscarriages. Let's say how horrible they were. And my husband was a great support. He really was. He was, if anything, the reason why it got to the third, and he's like, I want to stop now because this is not good for you. And I don't want to see you like this anymore. But he was my moral compass and he was my sounding board. And, being 5 years older, he also said to me, babe, I don't want to keep trying and doing this for too long either. Emotionally, it's not good. And it's just incredible that after that curette clean out that things happened. So
How did it affect him? Do you know?
look, it definitely affected him. There were days like he was sad. I guess we were so lucky with falling pregnant. And even he said to me, we have been so lucky with fertility. And so many people around us have either taken so long to fall pregnant or they've gone down the IVF path. And for me, it's just so foreign to do that. I'm like, okay, you just have sex and you have a baby. But that's just my, I don't know whether you call it immaturity or I'm not educated about it. I've been very lucky. I've never really understood the alternative. But now I get it. And now to see other couples and what they experience, and you don't know until you start trying. You don't know. And that's why
That's
I would
the
say to
scary
people,
part.
like, just, I know when you're young, you want to travel and you want to buy a house and you want to save money, but if you feel that you're in a good relationship, whether you're married or you're not, whatever the situation might be, don't put it off too long because you don't know. You may not be able to have kids,
That's the thing. I actually went to my doctor the other day and said, I'm curious about my fertility. Can we do a test, or is there a blood test I can do or something? And it was like, oh no, you'd have to go to a gynecologist and, spend all this money and all of this. And I was like, I don't really feel comfortable going to a gynecologist when I don't have a problem and there's other people who might need that appointment and all of this. And I'm like, I'm really like, it's disappointing that there isn't some test you can take when you're just like thinking about it, but you're not quite there yet. And you're right, because you don't know until it's literally that moment, and you might be a certain age or whatever else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, that makes, if only there was something, there should be something readily available to women because it's a horrible process to go through and it can be very isolating. And I guess for me, Kiara, I didn't have the option of staying in my bed with my husband holding me every day and bringing me breakfast in bed. I had my kids that climb the walls that are active. And I spent a couple of days in bed. I remember the day after my little one had a birthday party. So my husband managed all that. Mum was just not well in bed for a couple of days. And that was on a Friday. I had the weekend. Monday morning, I was up making lunch boxes, doing the drop-offs, doing what I had to do, and managing it as best I can, really.
Do you feel like that hindered your process of dealing with it emotionally, or do you feel like it helped?
Look, I think being in bed for those couple of days helped me. I could have definitely done with more, but then on the flip side, I sort of think they give me the reason. They gave me the reason to get up. They gave me the reason to, I was very distracted. So I would probably think about it when they'd go to bed and, at spurts during the day. But they keep me so busy and active that I'm so distracted. I don't have time to sit and think. But I don't know, everyone's different. Some people feel that being in bed for 2 weeks helps them. And also physically, there was pain as well.
Oh, of course.
There was, my, tummy pain. And so physically, there was obviously a lot of stuff going on. Could I have stayed in bed another week? Absolutely. But then what's it going to achieve?
Definitely. I think
So.
there's a sweet spot there of like feeling it fully and allowing yourself to fall into a heap if that's what you need at that moment. But then how do we pull ourselves back out of that and come back into the world and not get stuck in that, falling in that heap for however many months or whatever? And that's a skill that not everyone has.
And it's interesting because, you've got a beautiful mum, and we're very lucky to have these mums, even though they drive us crazy. But the day of my first miscarriage in March, I was at the obstetrician and my sister was pregnant at the same time. So me and my sister organized our appointments at the same time. So Alex was there for me and he came later. Me, mum, and Adele went for breakfast in the morning at the hospital, and Mum was there with Adele. So I had my appointment first, and me and Alex went in. All of a sudden, I walk out in tears. My mum doesn't know what's going on. I had to go and get a blood test done. Alex walked out and briefed my mum and my sister what had happened. And then, poor thing, my sister had to go into her appointment. Anyway, we're driving home and I'm like, please, I just want to be on my own. And Alex, my husband knows me. He said, you're going to want your mum. You know, let your mum come. Let your sister come. I know you. And I'm like, just please get me home. I want to go home. I want to go into my bed, please. And, you know, she was calling me. I'm like, Mum, I'm fine. Don't worry. It's okay. But there was inside of me, Kiara, I know her. And inside of me, I'm thinking, I know she was going to come past. I knew she would just would have come. And I said to her, please don't come. Anyway, an hour or so after, there was a knock on the door. And it was my mum. And I heard her coming up the stairs. And at that moment, as much as I get so much support from my husband, I mean, it was such a difficult time. But seeing my mum just gave me, she just sat on my bed and she's had a miscarriage. And, you know, she rubbed my leg and she was talking to me, and just having her here, having her presence, that also had a really profound effect on me. And she probably listening to this video one day, I don't know. But whenever I say to her, Mum, I'm all right, don't come, she comes. And it's when I say I don't come, that's probably when I need her to come. And it's really weird, but yeah, I guess that's just a mother's instinct. They just know, they know. And she was here, and the night after she had plans, and she cancelled her plans, and she said, and I'm like, Mum, go, don't worry. She goes, no, I need to be with you. You're the priority. I need to be with you. And she came upstairs. I was sitting on the toilet. She was here, and, you know, I'm very open with my family, and I was in tears on the toilet. She came and sat on my bed, and we were just in silence. And sometimes that silence helps as well. You don't always need to be talking.
Definitely.
And that really helped. And I remember that, and it really resonates with me now.
Sometimes you just need to process, and it can be nice to just have someone there ready if you do want to talk, but also respects if you don't, and can let you just sit in silence as well. That's that's a beautiful sweet spot of, you know, I'm here for you and what you need right now, and not here for me and trying to help you.
That's right. So I remember that. But
do you have any advice you would give to people going through this?
The advice, I wish I could have spoken about it while I was going through it. I just couldn't. I think the advice is talk about it. It doesn't have to be, it might not even be your husband. It may not be your brother or your sister, but find someone in your life. It might be your GP. You might need to maybe make an appointment with a counselor or a psychologist. Talk to someone, because I think hearing other people's stories give you hope. That's the other thing. Because even chatting to a mum at the school gate, she's like, oh, I've had four miscarriages, and then I did this, and then I fell pregnant. So I think just really talking about it, being open about it, don't feel ashamed. You've done nothing wrong. Don't feel ashamed. It wasn't the running. It wasn't the weight. It wasn't you screaming at your kids. This is just life, and it happens. But removing that stigma, absolutely.
Definitely. It's never your fault. Like, you can't control this stuff. Unfortunately, it happens to us, and we can do everything in the book, everything perfectly. And these things can still happen. There's still that level of uncertainty. And I think it's such an important piece of not self-blaming ourselves. It's so easy to do, though, to fall into that. Like, as women, that's our natural reaction, is like, what have I done wrong to start, like, to lead to this? But that self-compassion piece, I think, is really big. And knowing who to reach out to as well. Like, I'm really interested in how it would affect, like, from the psychological perspective, the family. Like, so you've got your partner going through it at the same time, and this is both like a big thing for both of you. And then how do you support each other through that when you're both struggling and when you're both triggered at the same time? And like you said, maybe your partner's not the right person to go to in that moment, because maybe they're dealing with their own stuff around this. And there will be someone in your network who is a safe space for you to go to and just vent, whether that be your mom or your sister.
You need to definitely talk to someone. And look, I'm really lucky, Kiara, that my husband, he gives me all the support I need. He knows that before I'm thinking it, he already knows what's going to come out of my mouth. I don't know how, maybe because he's a
That's
psychologist, I don't
beautiful.
know.
Yeah.
He works with the brain every day, so he's worked me out to a T. But, he did say to me that maybe you don't want to talk to me. Maybe you do want to go and have a chat to someone. But look, just having the right people in your life to talk to makes a difference. And yeah, not blaming yourself. That's something that I really took away from. I took that away from it, absolutely.
When you say you couldn't talk about it in the moment, like, why, can I ask?
I don't know. I think because I thought in that moment I was going through it. I felt very saddened by it. I didn't want to talk about it much. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. So the outcome could have been that we wouldn't have gone down this path, but I wouldn't have a Marcus that's sleeping right now. I was just really afraid. And if I could turn back time, I would have definitely opened up a lot more about it. And in particular with my friends that have experienced miscarriage, they could have given me some other helpful hints and tips and advice. But in that moment, the place was so dark that I really struggled opening up. But if I could turn back time, I definitely would.
And I think that's universal. We struggle the minute there's anything with heavy emotions and big things going on. It's like you said, with your dad, he tried his best. He was like trying to give you the positive outcome. We're so quick to jump from this bad thing's happened, but here's a solution. I can fix it. Here's a solution. You know, be grateful for what you have. Like, that's really good. Because we struggle to sit in that place of, you know, it is really shit. And I think
That's
to be
right.
able to support people with that. That's why I do this podcast, because I want to live in a world where we can do that better and can support people.
Absolutely. And even men, we know that men at the best of times, and it's not about being sexist, it's about look at the statistics out there. Men don't talk about how they feel. And I said to my husband, if you're not feeling okay, like you're talking to me, but he's got two very, very best friends that are like his brothers, chat to them. And look, I think he did. He spoke to them about how he was feeling, that, it was difficult, and I guess the biggest thing for him was to see me like that. He really struggled, and it was really difficult to see me in that space. But I think men need to talk, and I think it's important. Like I talk all the time. I guess that was I was very it was challenging for me. But in general, I'm very open. I'm an open book. I'll tell you how much money I've got in my bank. I don't hide. I struggle with people that aren't open, let's say. I'm really open about things. I'll tell you about my plans and my ideas, and this is what I want to do. And some of them may not work, and that's okay. But it's nice just to have a sounding board and talk about things. So whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But everyone's different, and I understand that as well.
I do think to some extent everyone needs some sort of sounding board. And that would be a good thing for most people. And I think, but I also think society has told us for years, and especially men, you know, you're not allowed to express emotions, which therefore is weakness. And it's like
That's
we've
right.
internalized that. You know, maybe our parents didn't allow us to cry when we were 5 years old or something. And we've decided that we're not allowed to do that because otherwise we're a bad person. And then that translates into being an adult going through something really hard and really challenging, and then not being able to feel like you can express because you're just so fearful of what might come from it, you know?
Absolutely. And it's so important to talk about things. And this was definitely something that should have been spoken about more at the time, but there's definitely been a lesson learned, which is important.
But there's no judgment there. Like, you do the best you can with what you've got at the time, you know? And maybe that was, I need some time to process and just sit here by myself. Like, let me do me. And then once I've come out of that bubble, then I can talk to people about it. And that's okay too. Like, everyone's got their different level of what they need in the moment when they're processing a traumatic experience, which is what this was. Like,
Yeah, that's right. And I think at the time, Kiara, I was working as well. So between working and juggling the kids, I didn't have time to actually sit down apart from those couple of days in bed. I just had to keep going. And then my beautiful nephew was born. So he was actually born that year. So the day that I had the second miscarriage, my sister had just gone in because her waters had broken prematurely. And my obstetrician, who was actually seeing her as well, who she recommended to me, rang me while I was in the labor suite with her, and he said, "Ollie, your results are just not good. I think you're going to have another miscarriage." And the most amazing thing that came out of that was my nephew, who was born in May. And that just gave me a whole new lease on life, really. Like, I mean, he's like another son for me. I mean, I post about him all the time. He's a cheeky little thing, and he just, yeah, he's like, he has another part of my heart has a definitely a big part for him. And yeah, so he definitely helped me as well. He really helped seeing him and being there for my sister during that journey. Was it difficult because there was a baby and I wanted that? Definitely not. Because I've got two kids, I've been there, and I really wanted to be. I didn't see Jackson as like, oh, it's making me think about being pregnant. It was because a lot of people do, but I could really differentiate. I was just so excited and thrilled to have him in my life. So I think he definitely helped me during that journey as well.
Yeah, it's like, how do you hold the hope during these times? And a baby is definitely one of those. Do you have any other ideas of how you would hold the hope during that time,
Look,
if
I
you haven't already
think,
mentioned
any advice to give people that are going through it, have a really good obstetrician. My
them?
obstetrician, and I don't know if he'll ever listen to this, I won't mention his name, but he is one of the best, let's say the best of the best, and he's incredible. And I did his head in, I'm sure I did, because I'm not one of these patients that sit there and I ask questions, and they might be dumb questions. We aren't doctors. We haven't gone to university and gotten that degree. Google is, be very mindful about what you read on Google. Speak to the specialists. They are trained. They are there. So one, have a really good doctor that you can trust. And get all the testing done. Get all the testing. And I think that that curette really helped me. It made me understand if I had endometriosis, then there would have been some issues. Had I had a cyst. But after three miscarriages, I think I needed to have that clean up. So I guess as a high level, just ask the right questions, get the right support, see a good doctor, see a good obstetrician. It might cost a bit of money, but in the long run, I know, financially everyone's struggling right now with cost of living and mortgage prices, but if this is important to you, maybe go without that. Five coffees a week that you buy from the cafe and put that money towards an appointment, because if this is something that you really want, then it's worth the money.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
definitely. And just you talking about the curette, like I'd never even knew that existed. So that's another thing that's out there now for people to explore that they might not have known was an option for them, you know?
I think it's really important. So, yeah, that's me, Kiara. I don't know if you've got any other questions.
No, I think that's pretty much it. Is there anything else you'd like to add, or you're happy feeling complete with that, like you are with your beautiful family?
Yeah, no, nothing. Like, I hope that women have the right support out there. And if they can't talk to family and friends, we are so lucky that we have these resources now with hotlines and helplines, and you don't even have to be in a bad space. You can just ring someone just to have a chat. But definitely talk about it and get all the options. And you know what? If it means that you need to do IVF, that's absolutely fine as well.
Nothing wrong with
And
that.
luckily now that the public has now offered IVF, so it's a lot of money up front. But if you can't afford it privately, we now have that option that you can seek that during going through the public sector.
Oh,
But talk
fantastic.
about it and have a good doctor, and don't blame yourself.
Yeah, definitely. It's such a beautiful message to t take moving forward. Don't blame yourself. You're doing the best you can.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Ollie. I've really appreciated ch chatting to you today. And yeah, we'll get this out there so everyone can hear about it. And
Thanks.
hopefully for the listeners, this has brought you some hope, some peace, and knowing that, there's other options out there for you as well.